Zan, you's born in Hamaskil. This material should be used by the spiritually intelligent person to meditate and contemplate upon in order laham shechalav yirigdeila b'shaseis katayda, in order to experience an awesomely great awe and reverence when he engages in learning Torah, as has been explained above in chapter 23. So the realization that in Torah study, one is being kire, one is calling Hashem to himself, just as you're calling your most intimate friend to come be with you, this arouses and creates a very powerful emotion of awe when a person is learning Torah. People can learn Torah in various ways. You can learn Torah as a profession, as a career. You could learn Torah as an intellectual exercise, and for various other reasons and motivations, detached from a real intense emotional experience. The Alter Rebbe says a spiritually sensitive, maskil, intelligent person has to meditate and realize what is happening when you're learning Torah. You're experiencing intimacy with Hashem in the deepest and in the most profound way. This whole piece about Torah study essentially was a parenthetical addition to explain the unique superiority of Torah, for which reason our sages have stated that Talmud Torah keneged kulam, that learning Torah transcends everything else, even the mitzvahs. Essentially, the thread pervading the theme of chapter 37 was explaining the cosmic process and the cosmic revolution achieved through each mitzvah, primarily mitzvahs connected to the physicality of the body and of the world, mitzvahs of speech, and even more mitzvahs of action, through which you sanctify and you transform and metamorphosize the physicality of the world. Indeed, in the earlier manuscripts of the Tanya, prior to its first published edition, a little more than 200 years ago, the whole end of chapter 37, from the two dots, Zayiz Va'ayid Acheres, from the two dots in the Memtesa and Aleph in the center of the page, Zayiz Va'ayid Acheres, till the end of the chapter, did not exist. Prior to sending over the Tanya to press, to be printed, the Alter Rebbe added this piece, perhaps signifying and demonstrating once again the Alter Rebbe's own intimate, I don't know how to describe it, I don't have the words to describe, his own intimate love and passion towards Torah, everything revolved around Torah study, in his own life and in his doctrines and so forth. And here again, he is consumed, so to speak, by what Torah is, what Torah means in the life of the Jew. Yeah, go ahead.
Is that why in rest of the Rabbi Nachman says that one should make a display of this out of Torah study, you know, to take the Torah he's learned and turn it into tefillah because it's calling out to the Torah?
The expert out of Nachman, Rabbi David, is not here. What about you? It's an interesting observation. I'm not sure about that. Now, since the Alter Rebbe concludes this theme in the beginning of chapter 38, Lamed Ches, I want to learn another few lines. Perek Lamed Ches, the 38th chapter of the Tanya. Vihine, now in Kol Hanal, in light of all that has been explained above, in chapter 35, 36 and 37, Yuvon Hetiv, one will clearly understand Psak Halacha Rucha B'Talmud Poskim, the halachic decision expressly stated in Gemara and in the codes in the Poskim, the Hirur Lav Kedibur Dami, that meditation is not valid in lieu of verbal articulation. Hirur, thought, meditation cannot substitute and is not equivalent to Dibur, to actual speech, to verbal articulation. What are the implications of this law? Thus, if one recited the Shema in his thought and heart alone, even if he did so with the full power of his concentration, he has not fulfilled his obligation of reciting the Shema. He must repeat it verbally. The Gemara in Brachas Daf Chaf Amud Beis cites the argument between Rav Binna and Rav Chisda concerning Krishma. If Hirur is Kedibur or not, if you meditate the words of Shema, and you concentrate on the words, and you have a mind experience, is it equivalent to actually verbalizing the Shema or not? The Halacha is like Rav Chisda, and this is, as he said, the halacha in Gemara and in Poskim and Torah and in Shulchan Aruch and Erechayim and Simon Samach Beis and the laws of Krishma, like the opinion of Reb Chisda, that Hirur is not valid in lieu of Dibur, and you cannot perform the mitzvah unless you articulate it verbally. It does say in Shulchan Aruch there in Simon Samach Beis that if you're forced, you're in a situation where you cannot verbalize it. For example, the place is physically not so clean, so you cannot verbalize it. It's better to meditate upon Shema, but you cannot fulfill your obligation of reciting the Shema. And the Alter Rebbe continues, V'chein b'birchas hamazon d'oraisa, the same is true concerning grace after meals, which is ordained by Torah. The law, the obligation to bless Hashem after we've satiated is a biblical commandment. That's what the Gemara says in Brachas Daf Memches. The Rambam brings in the beginning of Hilchas Brachas. So the law, again, in Turin, Shulchan Aruch, and Hilchas Brachas, Hamazon, and Simen Kuf Pehe, that if you did not verbalize grace after meals with your lips, with your mouth, you just meditated upon it, again, you did not fulfill the mitzvah, because Hirur is not like Dibur. The Rambam's opinion in Hilchas Brachas Perek Aleph Halachas Zayin is that all blessings, even Berchas Hamazon, Bidi Eved, which means post facto if you did it already, you can fulfill your obligation through meditation and thought. And Alter Rebbe himself in Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Berchas Hamazon explains this because it's not compared to Krishna. By Krishna it says, V'dibarta Bam, you should say it, you should verbalize it, and meditating is not verbalization. By Birchas Hamazon, it doesn't say V'dibarta, it says V'chalta V'savot Uvirachta, you should bless, you should give thanks. The Alter Rebbe says, Amavarich B'libay Gamkin Shem Bracha Alei. If you meditate grace or you meditate a blessing, you blessed, you acknowledged. You didn't verbalize, but you blessed. But in addition to the fact that most halachic opinions are not like the Rambam, even according to the Rambam, it's obvious that initially you have to articulate it with your mouth. And Alter Rebbe continues, just as this is true concerning Berachas Hamazon, which is min haTorah, or b'shar brachas derabbanan. Similarly, with other blessings, which are rabbinic in origin, all other blessings, for example, the blessings we make before we eat, is not a biblical obligation like Berachas Hamazon after we eat. It's a rabbinic obligation. Nevertheless, the halacha in Tur and Shulchan Aruch Simen Reish Vav is that if you did not verbalize it with your lips, you did not fulfill your obligation, and you have to repeat the blessing. And the Alter Rebbe continues, Ubitfilah, and the same is true concerning davening. And this is important to emphasize, because davening, essentially, the Gemara says in Tainis, is avodah shebelev. It's an emotional experience. Nonetheless, the law in Hilchas Tefillah and Simen Kuf Aleph is that if you davened in your heart and in your mind and you didn't verbalize the words, you did not fulfill the obligation of davening. Again, because hearer is not kedibur. If you can't, you can't. Now, the actual halacha does not pose a difficulty. Hashem desires that a Jew should not just perform these mitzvahs through his mind, but also through his mouth, just like he wants other mitzvahs should be performed in physical ways, through your arms. You shouldn't just meditate on sukkah, about sukkah. You shouldn't just meditate about tefillin. You should actually do something about it. And it's possible that part of the obligation is that if you don't verbalize it, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. That doesn't pose the difficulty yet. What poses the primary difficulty is the following words. V'im ha'itzi b'svas avalei kivin libay. Now if, on the other hand, one spoke the words of Shema, of davening, of Birchas Hamazon, of the blessings, and did not concentrate his thought, he has post facto fulfilled his obligation, although he was initially required to concentrate. But b'di'avad, if he did it already post facto, he fulfilled the mitzvah. And need not repeat them with conscious concentration. Levan, there's an exception. The first pasuk of Shema, or bracha rishayna shel tefillah Shmoneh Esrei, and the first blessing in the Shmoneh Esrei in the Amidah, where the halacha requires one to repeat them if he did not concentrate on their meaning while reciting them the first time. As the Gemara teaches, beginning of the second chapter of Brachas, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Ad kan mitzvahs kavanim, mikan ve'elich mitzvahs kriya v'chuli. Until here, which means until the end of the first verse of Shema. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Till there is the mitzvah of concentration. But from there on, for the rest of Shema, is the mitzvah of recitation. The mitzvah consists not of kavanah, but of kriya, of recitation. The halacha in Hilchis Krishma, Simen Samach, and Hilchis Tfilah, Simen Kofalof, and Erechayim is that the first verse of Shema needs kavana. And if you did not meditate the kavana sa'inyin, the meaning of what you're saying, you have to repeat it again. The same is true concerning the first blessing of Shemayin Asre, Birchis Avos, Til Magen Avram. The Torah writes in Simen Kof Aleph that nowadays you don't repeat the first blessing of Shemoneh Esrei even if he didn't have kavana. Why? Sha'av b'chazara karavu shalo yechaven. Because knowing our souls and our psyches, it's likely that even when you repeat it, you won't be mechaven. Im kein lama yachzis. Why are you repeating it? Even when you do it the second time. Oh, atazay. Oh, that's good. One second. Concerning Krishna, however, the Magen Avraham and the Alter Rebbe write in Simen Kof Aleph that since the Kavan is only for one line, Shema Te'echad, so even souls like us can be compelled, can be made to repeat it, and you can trust the person that maybe you'll have Kavan the second time. Now here is the big question. Even if Hashem desires verbal articulation, which is His right, it's His right. It's not just His right. According to Tanya, mitzvah is not about rights. It's about His intimate will, His intimate soul, His intimate expression. But everyone understands that the ikir or ikrim, the foundation of davening, of krishma, of grace after meals, of brachas, is the kavanas halev. The awareness, the meditation, the concentration, an internal experience in man's mind and in man's heart, an experience of surrender, an experience of thankfulness, of graciousness, of a relationship, of a passion, and so on and so forth. What is expressed in these halachas is an opposite thought totally. Obviously, initially, in all of these cases, you need kavanah. Initially, you're supposed to be mechaven during the whole Shema Nesra. You have to know what you're talking about. And during the whole Shema, obviously. But what happens if you engaged in all of the meditation in the world? You meditated and meditated and meditated. And you internalized the message of Shema in the deepest recesses of your soul and your heart. And your mind was consumed by your fiery ecstasy and your transcendental meditation of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad and so forth. But you didn't verbalize the words. And you didn't articulate. You didn't articulate them with your physical mouth and your physical lips and your physical teeth and tongue and so forth. You did nothing as far as the mitzvah is concerned. You did nothing. On the other hand, in most situations, in most cases, if you did not meditate whatsoever, there was no personality there, there was no soul, there was no psyche, there was no character, there was no heart, there was no mind. But you uttered the words. You verbalized the words. You did the mitzvah. You performed the mitzvah. If anything, it should be exactly the other way around. Parenthetically, your comment was interesting. That the Fega, the Torah writes, and the Alter Rebbe brings this, the Ramah and Siman Kuf Aleph, that today, even in Birchas Avos, we don't go back, even though the Alter Rebbe doesn't say it here, because the halach is that you have to go back by Avos. But the fact that in contemporary day and age, we say continue even after Birchas Avos. Because why? Because even the second time, it's most likely he's not going to have Kavana. So what's going on? So the Alter Rebbe sees this as a powerful reflection and an expression that can only be really understood. The soul of it can only be comprehended, Yuvan Heitev, based on the foundational doctrine that has been revolutionary doctrine that has been established in chapters 35, 36, 37, that the ultimate purpose and objective and goal of all of creation was not that the human being should experience spirituality, was not that the human being should live in heaven. The purpose was, on the contrary, that man should take the physical stuff of the cosmos, the coarseness of life, to confront places and things which are unconducive and non-expressive of holiness, and to extract holiness from there. To take the darkness, the crassness, the grossness of physicality and mundaneness that's expressionless of any higher quality, and to bust the bubble of the concealment. So when a Yid encounters physical, coarse, mundane elements in his life, and on the contrary, that usually constitutes the majority of most of our lives, the Jew should not fall into despair. Should not complain, should not lament. On the contrary, how does the Pasuk say in Halil, Hashamayim, Shamayim, Lashem, Va'aret, Nosel, Levnei Adam? The heavens belong to Hashem, and the earth He has given to human beings. So the Kotzker Rebbe said, the heaven belongs to Hashem, and the earth Hashem gave to human beings that they should make earth into heaven. You encounter in your life something that's not spiritual, celebrate. This gives you an opportunity to fulfill the purpose of creation. To make the tachtoin, to make the lowly elements, those elements that are insignificant, that don't have life, that don't have energy, to make that a channel that should express godliness, as discussed in chapter 36. So this is the spiritual foundation of these halachas. There is an old debate among philosophers or human beings. Who are we? Are we spiritual beings having a physical experience? Is that what life is all about? Or are we physical beings who are having a spiritual experience? How would you answer that question? Are we spiritual beings having a human experience, or the converse? According to the Alter Rebbe, both statements are valid. You have a divine soul, and you have an animal soul. The divine soul is a spiritual, transcendental being, having a physical experience, which is a shocker. And the animal soul is very much a physical being, an egotistical, self-focused, self-centered human being, being shocked from time to time by some transcendental melodies emitted from the divine soul's heart. An interesting eye-opener for it at times. So this is what Alter Rebbe is saying here. In meditation of Shema, in meditation of davening, in divine transcendental thoughts, we are spiritual beings having a spiritual experience. It's just processed via our physical facilities. The deepest meditation needs a brain, and needs nerves, and needs chemicals, and needs the animal soul. It's processed via the physical facilities. that enables us to have the experience. But we are, what role do we play as meditators? Who are we at the moment? We're spiritual beings having a spiritual experience. In deeds, in physical deeds, when we come in contact with physical objects, and we perform them with our physical organs, as well as in words, we are physical beings, talking, doing, and achieving things with our physical facilities. It's the physical being who's having the spiritual experience. And here lay the ultimate objective. In the verbal articulation of these words, you're allowing your physicality to become intimate with spirituality. Unexciting, uncompelling, that's what it's all about. The unexciting, expressionless element of the universe, that should be metamorphosized. That should be transformed. Let's see inside. V'hainu, mishum sha'neshama ein etzricha tikun la'atzma b'mitzvahs. Because the divine soul does not need to heal itself through the mitzvahs. As he discussed in chapter 37. Rather, the main goal of mitzvahs was to draw forth energy to heal the biological soul and the physical body. This is accomplished by means of the letters of speech, which the soul, the animal soul, utters by means of the five organs of verbal articulation. As well as through the mitzvahs of action, which the soul, the animal soul, performs by means of the body's other organs. When you verbalize something with your mouth and the five organs of verbal articulation, which are the chech, the palate. The chech is the palate, the shinayim, the teeth, the svasayim, the lips, the garin, the throat, the lashon, the tongue. Or when you do something physical, like in other mitzvahs, with other organs of the body, whether it's putting on tefillin or distributing charity or lighting a candle or putting up a mezuzah and so forth. Here, the animal soul is the chief player. Here, the animal soul is the chief producer and director. And it's the animal soul that's working with very physical elements of the human body. Whether it's with elements of the mouth, as it is in communication, in verbalization, or other elements, other organs of the body. So as a result of that, they are spiritualized. That part of the person which is not holy, which is not transcendental, which is not heavenly, which is boring, mundane, coarse, gross, maybe vulgar, concealing, unconducive to holiness, non-expressive of any level of holiness. There you make the celestial metamorphosis. There you make the transcendental revolution. And this was the primary purpose with mitzvahs. And therefore, kavanah is for sure important. But if you experienced all the kavanis and all the meditations without physical verbalization, you're missing the point. You missed the boat. The soul doesn't need healing. That's not what the mitzvahs are about. It's about changing the world. And what do we mean the world? The worldliness of the world, not the heavenliness of the world. On the other hand, if I didn't experience all the meditations, sadly, there is a void, there's an important void, which he will discuss in the continuation of chapter 38. Sadly, if I haven't engaged in all of the meditations, but I verbalized the words of Shema, of davening, of Birchas Hamazon, of Bracha, and so forth, I touched the essence. My physicality, my geshem, my mundaneness became godly, became a vehicle, became an instrument that expresses godliness. And perhaps Shepshashis knew this, and he wanted this. And therefore he wanted that his body, Sfas of David, his behavior. Shepshashis knew this. Chadoi nafshoi, but he wanted that his physical lips should articulate the words of Torah, and it should be attributed to his body after he passes away. And that can only happen if the halach is repeated in his name. Concerning your question, there's generally in halacha, there's two types of kavanas. There's kavanas ha-mitzvahs and kavanas ha-inyan. Dr. Rebbe discusses this at length in Hilchas Krishna and other places, in Paschim, it says, kavanas ha-mitzvahs is the intention to perform a mitzvah. When I'm saying Shema, I should have intention that I'm doing this in order to perform a mitzvah. That's another type of kavanah. And there's a whole argument of mitzvah striches kavanah or ain't striches kavanah, if they need this type of kavanah, or maybe you can be doing the mitzvah parenthetical without thinking that you're doing the mitzvah. For example, let's say you're reading the Shema because you're a scribe and you have to check over that part of the Sefer Torah. Whether you are Yotze or you're not Yotze, and some opinions say that in biblical mitzvahs you need that kavanah, rabbinic mitzvahs you don't need the kavanah. It's a whole independent discussion. Then there's a second element of kavanah, which is kavanah sa'inyin. What are you saying, the meaning of the words? Not that you're thinking you should do a mitzvah. Even if you're not thinking you should do a mitzvah, but Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, according to all opinions, you have to think the meaning of the words. But nevertheless, beyond that's the spirituality of the soul gets turned on. The spirituality of the soul becomes godly. My mind, my heart experiences Hashem's unity, surrenders, gives thanks, gives gratitude, and so forth. And then there's my body. Yes, the bruteness of my body and my animal soul becoming godly. And here lay ultimately the objective of creation.
The soul needs very little. The neshama needs very little then.
Yeah.
Why does the soul need only these two things? Only the shema?
And you see that even by avos, like you mentioned, it's interesting. You say, don't repeat it again because you're still not going to have kavana. I mean, so what's the point? And with this, the Alter Rebbe brought to a conclusion and to a culmination the discussion he began in chapter 35, where he embarked on a journey to explain the concept of la'asayse. What is the ultimate significance of the performance of mitzvahs, of deed, of behavior, behaving according to Torah, be of spiritual behavior versus spiritual experience. La'asayse. And also to explain the purpose of the creation of the Beinoni, who never transforms his animal soul, who's always dichotomized between two consciousnesses. And the primary contribution of the Beinoni to spirituality is only in behavior. Because the Beinoni never really has an exclusive spiritual experience. The Beinoni never becomes a spiritual being who's having spiritual experiences. The Beinoni is always dichotomized. What would be the ultimate purpose in that life? A life that's torn, a life that's dichotomized between heaven and earth, between spirituality and physicality. Their only contribution is that their behavior on a day-to-day life, on a day-to-day basis, is consistent with Torah and mitzvahs. Thus came the whole long explanation in Lamed Hei, Lamed Vav, and Lamed Zayin, at the beginning of Lamed Ches, where the point of it was that the ultimate objective of all creation was not to soar to the transcendental planes of existence, rather to transform the lowly earth. The ultimate goal was not to elevate the heavens, but to heal the earth. At the end of the day, the Alter Rebbe says, the entire cosmos is yearning to place its mouth on the mouth of the human being and the Jew and declare together, Yizgadal v'yizkadash Shmei Rabbah.
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is CHASSIDUS.com.